Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and we're back with 96 Live. I'm your host, Robert Hart. And today we're going to be talking a bit about the 96 Cotton Mill. Originally constructed in 1903, but helped keep the town going for quite a few years and definitely helped it grow. Approximately 800 employees were working at the plant during that time. And it also had an influence on the mill village, is what we're going to be talking about today. That's where most of the workers from the mill lived each day. And we're going to get into a bit more detail about that. And we're going to be interviewing Joanne Eichelberger, who is the chair of the 96 Parks Commission. And we're going to learn about the project they've been working on over in the Mill Village for the last year or so, and find out its progress, and find out its latest they're working on. Also, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk with Donna Wells. She's also been assisting on the project. And it should be online any second, so please stand by. Now, I'll give you a bit of history of the cotton mill. The Epworth Cotton Mill was built in the early 1900s by W.P.B. Kennard, and was once ran by steam and powered by wood from local plantation. The mill housed an original Eli Whitney cotton gin machine down the Smithsonian Institute. And the mill was torn down, but the foundation remains on Highway 178 and Highway 248. And like I said, the mill was very instrumental in the growth of the town. Including Pender's Row, which is named for peanut vendors. It's still on the west side of Main Street. The row represents small service shops, once typical of many southern towns. And Pender's Row was torn down in 1982, with only the Fortner Auto Building remaining. Now, we are here to talk today a bit about the project that's been going on in Mill Village. The talk of construction of a Mill Village park. And I'm going to try to get more information about that to you shortly. And in the meantime, also this weekend, there will be two events going on in town. Out at the Starfort National Historic Site, there will be Children's Day, where to learn where children lived and played back in the 1700s. Also, there will be a bird bio blitz, which will be... bird watchers will be out there, and they will demonstrate how to identify different birds and so on. Also, out at the lake this weekend, the 21st, the 96 Chamber is sponsoring the first ever mother-son fishing tournament, and that's at State Park in Tennessee. And for more information, call Stacy Jurgens at 864-993-2293. Also upcoming is our Festival of Stars, which will be the 1st and 2nd of July. And that'll be a full schedule of events for that fall, so, including finishing up with the fireworks. But of course, we'll have the parade that Saturday. Also have a number of bands performing. Also, they're going to have the watermelon eating contest, hot dog eating contest, rides for the children, and so on. Also, Wednesday, June 22nd, is a proactive way to stay healthy and active. Lifeline screening will be provided at the 96 Train Depot, and that's on the 22nd of this year. I'm sorry, of June. And we'll get a carotid artery plaque screening test, heart rhythm screening test for arterial fibrillation, scan for irregular heartbeat, abdominal aortic aneurysm screenings, screens for aneurysm in the abdominal aorta, which could rupture, peripheral arterial disease screening, screens for peripheral arterial disease in the lower extremity, and osteoporosis risk assessment. I'll screen the heel bone to determine abnormal bone mass density, and you get all five screenings for $149. So be smart, do more for your cardiovascular health. It's a great deal. Also, to register, you call 888-653-6450 to register for your screening, and you also receive a $10 discount. Or you can visit www.lifelinescreening.com/community partners. That's www.lifelinescreening.com/community-partners, and you can get more information. And see, also there will be, like I said, this Saturday we've got two events going on. BioBlitz out at the park, which is a national bird watching study to include field specialists and volunteers. Public is welcome to assist. Please register online. And Living History Day will also have reenacted teaching traditional lifestyles and settlers. and we'll get started with Joanne Eichelberger shortly. And we'll find out more about what's going on in the Mill Village. Find out about the new project that they're working on right now. And welcome to the show, Joanne.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Could you tell us a bit about the Mill? Let's start again. Okay. Can you tell us a bit about the Mill, what it was like working there? And
well, I worked in the Mill back in from June of 1960 till January of 62. I worked in the cloth room, and that was one of the cleanest parts of the Mill. I was a grader. We took fabric that was in 500-yard stacks, and the inspectors had looked at it over this light. If they saw any flaws, tag in the sign with a heavy string. And when it got to my job, we would go to each one of those tags, and if the, was it like a full thread, you know, we could fix that. If it had a hole, it had to be cut out. And that's why it was called grading.
Okay. Now, how did the Mill actually start the Mill Village? No?
Well, when Mr. Self started the Mill, he needed homes for his workers. Back then, there were very few cars. Started building homes for the employees, and the cost of renting was very, very cheap. I think it was $1 a room plus $1 for the garage a month, and they took it out of your paycheck.
Okay, so most people walk back and forth every day?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And usually the husband and wife both work, sometimes alternating shifts to be home with the children.
Okay, and the mill also provided like a grocery store and that type of thing?
It had a grocery store. Buddy Ellison ran the grocery store. Dick Carter ran the other side, clothing store. At one time there was a cafe there where the beauty shop is now. And they provided food to be taken into the mill for lunches and supper time. And it was called the Dope Wagon. I don't know how it got that name. But they had some good food, sandwiches mostly.
Okay. Now, I understand you've been working on this project in Millville. Could you give us a bit more information about that?
Well, I took on this project at Mayor Turner's urging last June. We needed someone to head up the 96th Arts Commission, and this falls under that duty. And we've been writing grants, talking to everybody we can, and trying to get grants to construct the 96th Mill Park.
Okay, what exactly is that going to be?
It's 14 acres over where the mill office stands now. We hope to have grade the site, have a walking trail all the way around, have a pavilion that can be used as an outdoor classroom, picnic, family gatherings, an amphitheater, a gazebo that can be used as a stage for different events, bathroom facilities, and this will be a passive park, not like the town park with it'll be a walking trail, flower gardens, just a soothing passive park.
Okay, and we do have another special guest that just walked in. Welcome to the show, Donna Wells.
Thank you.
Okay, what would you like to add?
Well, I'm not sure about, I missed the first part of Joanne's interview, but I don't know whether she mentioned that we are trying to sell 575 engraved brick. This will provide us with hopefully enough funding to do the turnstile entrance to the park. The bricks will be selling $50 each or two for $96. Hopefully we'll get as many people that were employed by the local mills. Again, this is a tribute to the cotton industry. It does not have to be tied into someone having worked at the mills over the years. It can be in honor of someone. So it's a good opportunity to be a part of the mill cotton industry legacy.
Okay. If someone's not familiar with what exactly you're trying to do, they could go out at the town clock and get an idea of the layout.
The design will be very similar to the 96 town clock area. We will be using the same eight-sided design and the same type brick. So if you're familiar with the 96th area, certainly stop by the clock area and see what the layout will be. The order forms for the brick will be in the District 96 Center and also the 96th Town Hall. Our deadline for our brick drive will be September the 1st, 2016. So hopefully everyone will have an opportunity to buy a brick.
So this is open to anyone.
Anyone, anywhere in this world.
Okay. And you also said it's not just for people that were in the cotton industry.
It's not. The turnstile, of course, it's still outside, and we will be sandblasting it and doing several other tributes to the mill workers, and it's been part of the plan. So, but anyone can participate.
Okay. Do you have any other plans for the park in the future?
Well, we're trying to get funds, the writing grant. We got a grant from the National Park Service out of Atlanta. They provide services and not funds. But we have a nice design for the park, and that will also be available in the town hall and the visitor center.
Okay. Anything you'd like to say to the Mill Village or anyone out there before you go?
Just participate in this lecture.
Appreciate everyone's support in this project. It will be a community effort, but again, it will be part of the legacy, which was part of the 96, pound 96 for many, many years.
And what's your registration dates again?
By September the 1st to that is our deadline to have our brick orders completed. So still got a little time to pick up your form and put some thought into it, and it's a good deal.
Okay, and $50 for each brick.
$2.96.
And you get two lines?
You get two lines for that price. There is a third line available, but it's an additional cost of $2. And
all right, well, I'll get to wrap it up today. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you.
All right, have a good day.
All right,
96 Live, signing off. Bye for now.